Okay, let's have a couple of you read your journal out loud, handing it to Rochelle. Rochelle, why don't you stand up?
Okay.
Share.
Sure. My scripture comes from Job 23, and I won't read all the verses, but it's the passage 8 through 12. Job is saying, you know, no matter where I look, I catch no glimpse of him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. My feet have closely followed his steps. I have kept his way without turning aside. I have not departed from the commands of his mouth. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. The Christian mystics developed a strong inner life, a deep prayerful communion with God forged out of a relentless pursuit of intimacy with God. The prophet Jeremiah invites this pursuit. You will seek me and find me when you seek with all your heart. If God were obvious, we would not have to seek him. The knowledge of God and evidence that he exists is obvious. It permeates the universe. But our individual quest for knowing God is filled with shadows and twists and turns. God is our ultimate destination. He is not a fellow traveler we leave behind at the next bus stop. Even though he is always present with us, we, namely I, do not live with a strong, consistent awareness. Seeking God can be defined as a testing and trial of myself. And finding myself wanting, I gladly turn to someone else. Job writes that God is always one step ahead of him, north and south. Job is looking and seeking, but never arriving. However, he knows that God does not have to look very far to find him. Job is walking in God's way, and God knows the way that he takes. The beautiful thing is that while Job is searching for intimacy, however defined, with God, God is working at intimate levels in Job's heart and life. Father, my prayer is ever to know you. I get frustrated when I just about get comfortable and stop to take a breath. And then I look around and you're not there anymore. I want my heart to become as refined as pure gold as you test my devotion to you through it all. I ask you to help me not depart from your words, but cling to them tighter than ever before. The journey is perilous, but your word is my food, sustenance, and life. Amen.
Good. That's great. Outstanding. You know, when Job says, may I come forth as gold, exactly what Rochelle said, and that is, if you're going to come forth as gold, you've got to be refined. There's only one way to get gold, and that's when you melt that stuff down, remove the dross, and you come forth as gold. You take all the iron ore out, you take all of the toxins out, you take all of the dross out, and the only way you're going to come through as gold is when you have been refined. The Lord, and I was talking with Ryan just the other day about the foundation of our lives. When the Lord builds the foundation of your life, if he wants to build something big and tall, do you think he's going to build on a little teeny foundation? If he wants to build a strong ministry, you're going to have a broad foundation. Isn't that right? Then he can build something large. It'll be deep and it'll be solid. Then and only then can you build something tall and solid. If it's thin, he can only build something small. Even though it's deep, you can't build too much. It has to be broad and solid. So what happens is, if this is like a timeline of your life here at Bible college or your internship, and that's your time. So you spend time in the church, but how many of us know that just spending time in the church doesn't mean you're building solid character? You can just bide your time. You can just kind of be a year down the line, but only a day more mature. Just because you spend time does not mean that you have equal maturity to match your tenure or your time here. It's going to require a diligence, it's going to require willingness to be tested, and often, as soon as we're tested, people fail. They bail out. I'm leaving this church. Well, what? You're going to hold me to submission? Submit to you? Do what you tell me to? That's it. I'm out of here. And we just bail. You can't even be tested because your life is filled with balsa wood. As soon as a match is put to it, boom, there's nothing there. There's no faith. There's really no solidity. So you come and maybe you learn and you go through a test and boy, that one's solid. You did good. But then you just kind of hang around, have a philosophy that's not real good. It's kind of just like fluff. It's just air, just religious air. But there's not much more than that. And then you come to something here that happens in your life, and God really does a deep thing. You come to a season of, hey, I'm going to do devotions. I'm going to do it really good. man, and may have followed a painful breakup with a girlfriend or boyfriend. You get really deep in God, and then kind of no longer deep because things get better, and your boyfriend calls you back again, says, "Oh, hey, I'm sorry." "Oh, okay." And then it's fluff again. And then you go and something else happens and you get strong. Now, when it's about this long in time, God is going to put the match to it. You're going to go through a test because he's got to see how much of this is buildable. And what he'll do is, and I'll use this metaphor, is he'll put pressure on you or compress you. And what he does, he puts his hand on your life and he starts to compress you. May come through tests, may come through all kinds of stuff, but he just starts putting pressure on you. It could be a financial pressure, it could be decisions that you make, it could be family things, but there's going to be pressure on you. Now, you're either going to rise or fall, but this is what's going to happen. Watch, he's going to start pushing you like this. And if there's just like fluff in between little pieces of solidity, and then there's air and solid and air, you're going to hear this psss in your life. All of a sudden, psss, boom, boom, psss, boom. Then the Lord says, Wayne, this is about in the last 5 years, this is about how much I can build on. It's this much. Yeah, but I was this long here in New Hope. Yeah, but you only got this much solid. It's all I can build on. I'm not going to build on this. How many times people hang around in the intern program for 4 years and say, man, I'm ready. Oh, you got about 90% fluff, and we got about this much we can build on. Then we're going to have to continue to build solid, deep stuff. That's why in the book of Mark you just read, a scribe comes to Jesus and says, and he asks a question. What's the greatest commandment? The Lord says, you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And then the guy says, I know that. In fact, it says in Micah, or rather in 1 Samuel, that all of that, loving God and loving your neighbor, that's more desire than burnt sacrifices and offerings. He adds a little bit to like show Jesus, I know, and I can add emphasis to what you just said. And the Lord says something real good. He says, you know, Scriptures, it's pretty good, but you're not far from the kingdom, not far. You haven't entered yet. In other words, he's saying you can be around Bible college and internship and get all that's about programming and about devotions and learn about Christian leadership and take leadership classes and do time management and know how to lead worship and play the right chords and how to do a youth event or an outreach, and you can know a bunch of stuff. But until you have a genuine, solid relationship with Jesus, you're close, but you're not entered in yet. Which means you can be around a long time, but not entered in. If you remember, where was it? In Matthew, I think it's chapter 12, but I'll look. It says something really interesting. It says, there's some that came to Jesus and said, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not even know how to cast out demons in your name? I mean, we're a part of all these crusades. You know what the Lord said? I never, what? Do you remember? I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And I thought, wait a minute. There's some people operating at high church maka-maka level. They're doing prophecy. They're doing crusades. And the Lord says, you know, you can be involved in really high levels of faith things, but if you don't understand a genuine relationship with me, you'll ask the wrong questions, just like the scribe. What's the most important thing? Yeah, I know all of that. The Lord says, yeah, but you haven't entered in yet. You can know a lot of stuff here and get it all down, but if you don't have a genuine relationship with Christ, it's going to come through fire or testing, so you come through as gold. What is gold is the fact that you have a relationship with Jesus. And you can hear that by sometimes the questions people ask. For example, sometimes someone will come to me and say, how far can I go sexually with my girlfriend and really not have crossed the line yet? Oh, so you want to know where the line is? Yeah, I want to know. As soon as they ask the question, I know they're not entered into the kingdom. Well, wait a minute, I've been around church for 10 years. Yeah, but it's just... Because if you understand relationship, it's sort of like me saying, you know, how far can I go with this other woman, my neighbor's wife, and still not have crossed the line with Anna? How many things can I hide from my wife and still be okay and I'm not crossed the line of trust with her? How much can I take from the office here and not have crossed the line of like stealing? Now, when someone starts asking me those questions, I think, are you weird? Something's funny in your heart. So when they say, how far can I go and still not have crossed the line with God? I say, you know, you're trying to know what's right, but you haven't even entered the kingdom. How far can I go with my neighbor's wife and still not have crossed the line with my wife, Anna? When people ask that, I think, you don't have a relationship with your wife, do you? Because if you really had a genuine relationship with your wife, you wouldn't even ask that. If you had a genuine relationship with Jesus, you wouldn't ask those things. Because you're trying your hardest to be a scribe rather than a son or a daughter. And you see, what Jesus wants most of all are genuine sons and daughters who love him enough and don't have questions to see where the line is. And that's what that scribe did. And the Lord says, you know, you're close, but you haven't entered in yet. Because you know it all. You know where it is to, like, your conscience so that you haven't crossed the line yet. But you're not a son. You're not a daughter. You're religious. You're a scribe. You're a great Pharisee in the making. But you're not a son or a daughter. And on the inside of us, every single one of us is a little Pharisee just waiting to grow up. And you can come out of even this Bible college and be a great scribe and just miss the kingdom of God. And I don't want that. That's why we do devotions. And that's why we say, Lord, test us, that, as Rochelle said, we might come through as gold in the end. And so God's going to test to get the fluff out of our life. So we come back to the greatest, most foremost commandment of all, that I really have a relationship with God. And because of that relationship, those other questions are like dumb. Why would I ask that? And when you have that, then the Lord says, there's a son, there's a daughter. It was in Matthew chapter 3, and I'll share this a little bit when I talk about Enoch in 2 weeks. This weekend I'm talking about Abraham and his faith. In 2 weeks, Enoch and his faith. But in Matthew chapter 3, Jesus is baptized. And he comes out of the water, and the Lord, one of just three times, God, the Father, speaks, cracks the heavens. Kaboom. You don't hear that very often. Cracks the heavens, opens it up, and says, this is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And I remember looking at that, and I thought, Lord, what are you pleased about yet? It's only Matthew 3. Like Matthew 1, there's a genealogies, you know, so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so forgot to begat, and just all the whole thing. And then chapter 2, he's born, and then chapter 3, you crack the heavens and say, you're pleased with him. He hasn't done anything yet. He hasn't healed any lame people, hasn't opened the eyes of any blind people, he hasn't done a crusade, he hasn't written a book, done a magazine, and even an interview with Larry King Live, nothing. He hasn't done anything yet. Yet you break the heavens open, you say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the fact that you say, this is my beloved Son, it tells me that the only thing he's got with you is no performance level, no track record, no batting average. The only thing he's got is the fact that he's your son. He's got a relationship with you. And I remember the Lord saying, that's what pleased me then. That's what still pleases me today. People that I can say, it's my son. That's my daughter. Not people who know about me and no religious things, because they're close to the kingdom, but they've never entered in. And the Pharisees had been around Christ, or Christian teaching rather, or we can say God-fearing teaching, or scriptural teaching would be more accurate, for years, some of them for 30 years. And the Lord said, and the scribe, how many times do you think he read the Bible? Probably lots. How many times do you think those people who said, Lord, we prophesied in your name, did miracles, cast out demons, they were around Christian stuff or church stuff a lot. And the Lord said, I never what? Knew you. I don't know who you are. There's no relationship. In fact, he says, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Interesting. So if I don't have a relationship with Jesus, the Lord calls that lawless. So here's what God is wanting. He's wanting to say, this is my son. This is my daughter. We have a relationship. Because the only thing that Jesus had going for him in Matthew 3 was that he was related to the Father. He had a relationship with him. Before he did anything, he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And I think before you and I do anything, you know what pleases God the most? Is a genuine walk with Jesus. That I say, he's my Lord, and I love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the bleed of that is, I love my neighbor as myself. The Lord says, you catch that? That relationship? That's genuine and honest? That's what I want. Because Christians are the best about knowing all there is to know about submission, but we can't submit. We know all there is to know about honesty, but we're not honest. Come on. We know all there is to know about loving God, but when it really comes down to it, we love ourselves and we use God. And you know, that's why the world says, you Christians are a bunch of hypocrites. And you know what? To a large extent, they're right. And it's time for us to repent and move back to something called a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. It's in Timothy where Paul says to his young protege, he says, the goal of our instruction, everything we're learning, is love from a pure heart, clear conscience, and a sincere faith. Goal of all of our instruction. For many who have strayed from these things have turned aside to fruitless discussion. But the goal of our instruction, everything you're learning here in the intern program in Bible college is this, that we have love from a pure heart, clear conscience, and a sincere faith. That's what makes you sons and daughters of God. And I think God, when he sees that, would again crack the heavens and say, these are my kids. I'm well pleased. So how will all of that happen? How will we find out where we are? Sometimes he's going to test us like gold. And Job said, in the end, I'm okay. Because I know that when God's tested me and the fire's put to me, I'll come through as pure gold. And I think Job knew something that maybe his buddies didn't. They were talking about heady stuff. Well, you know. And Job says, I know my relationship. I know in whom I believe, and I'm okay. And that's what I want you to be able to come to one day. To be able to say, you know, I know my Jesus, and I love him dearly. No, that's not a question I'll ask. No, that's not a place I'm going to frequent, you know. Hey, we're not having sex. Well, we're just dancing like freaking. Yeah, well, we can freak, but we're not really doing it. Well, it's like if you have a relationship with the Lord, that's not even a question you want to ask. So when they ask that question, I know the Lord would say, I never knew you. Yeah, but I'm a Christian. Yeah, but when I compress your life, there's nothing left. And so ask the right questions, which is, Lord, how can I make my heart pure? And help me to be honest with you. So I don't see how far can I go and still not cross the line. That makes you a great scribe, great Pharisee. But when you say, I love Jesus, that's not even a question I would ask. Then that makes you a great son and a great daughter. And those are the people that God cracks the heavens open for and says, this is my son, this is my daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Our goal in the end is to be pleasing to the Lord. That's what Paul says, to be pleasing to the Lord. So that's what we want to do. The goal of our instruction, love from a pure heart, clear conscience, sincere faith. And sometimes the only way to find that is, Rochelle, you get fired. And the goal gets refined. And he compresses. Is that fun? No. But you're going to need to know how much he can build on. He wants to build on this much. Not this much time. This much gold. Amen? We're going to pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word that often studies us. I'd rather study the Bible, but I think the more genuine thing is to fillet my heart open and let the Bible study me so that I'll constantly be checking, evaluating, seeing where I am so that I make sure that there is a self-evaluating mechanism on the inside of me that's healthy called my conscience. Oh, no, not with false guilt, but with accurate evaluation so that I can make sure that when the fire is put to my life, just like Job, we can say, will come through as pure gold. And there comes a confidence and assurance so that when we walk this earth, there comes an authority that we will steward well, but that authority that will impede the devil and set people free. But it has to start in us, Lord. It has to be genuine to the core. Otherwise, we're veneer on the outside and pressboard on the inside. But help us, Lord, to be clean, clear, genuine to the core. And I know sometimes it means that you're going to have to press on us. You're going to have to set us afire. But it's okay. Lord, if you need to, may we burn brightly for you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.